Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The over 400,000 students who made up the first cohort to sit for the SPM examinations during a COVID-19 pandemic have achieved the best national grade average in the past 5 years. Data also showed that the achievement gap between urban and rural candidates had also narrowed. Does this mean the concerns we had surrounding home-based learning and the digital divide, were all of those concerns unfounded? And what accounts for the better performance amidst more than a year of disrupted schooling? We're going to be discussing that over the next 30 minutes. Let's begin with Hong Jing Han. She's a senior program executive with Yayasan Tunku Abdul Rahman, which provides support to improve university access for students from financially disadvantaged backgrounds. Good evening, Jing Han. It's good of you to join us on the show tonight. What do you make of the fact that the SPM 2020 results had the best national grade average in 5 years? I mean, this came as a surprise to many, especially after such a tumultuous schooling year. Did it come as a surprise to you?
Whether it came as a surprise to me or not, well, it did. And I'm glad on the average scale that we did do better than last year. Having said that, it's difficult to say that we did something right when there are many things that could have had affected the outcome of these results. For one, I know that, and I was a teacher last year, there was a heightened focus around achievement and academics, given that we were transitioning into online schooling. So teachers were aware of what was going on and how this would impact from five students the most. And so there was a lot of measures that were taken to help them transition into this. And beyond that, it's also worth considering that for this batch of Form 5 students, these are the last batch of the KBSM syllabus, a syllabus that has been in the running since, I think, the 1980s. So it's a really long time. And as a result of this, there has been a lot of resources that are online. Students and teachers alike know what is going to happen and how to do it. So it, you know, could be a matter of just practicing it over and over again. I would caution that it's a bit too early to tell the impacts of the pandemic on this group of students. I think we will only be able to really see it once they transition into higher education and eventually into employment. But I also think that the real challenge would be the students this year, the SPM 2021 candidates, because not only will they be sitting the SPM with a brand new syllabus, there's more coursework involved and there's more school-based assessment, but for them, a lot of their Form 4 and now Form 5 schooling, they have spent it most of their time in and out of schools. And with some of the students, I'm also aware that they have not had exams with the proper formatting since their PT3 a while ago. So I think until we wait for a bit, and as well as wait for the ministry to release more data, will we be able to say what the impact of SPM and what these students will fare, how they will fare in the future.
Jinan, I wanted to ask you, because if in fact, you know, it's beyond surprise and there's a lot of skepticism, I'm gathering from, you know, just reading around that this, it's a kind of annual affair, the skepticism about the SPM results. But part of the skepticism seems to rest on, you know, the issue of passing grades and adjustments of passing grades, the things that are done internal to the year's results, rendering both, you know, the comparison between different years, a false comparison, and also undercutting the, as it were, the issue of whether, you know, what we're seeing in the results is a direct reflection of the quality of education and the quality of the students. What do you make of that?
So if we're talking about grading, I think it's also pretty common knowledge that the grading in our SPM is quite dynamic. My understanding is also that the methods of grading and the actual SPM results are part of the Official Secrets Act. I think focusing on that is quite a miss, because even if we are on average doing well in SPM this year and aggregated data that shows us otherwise, the reality of the pandemic is that, yes, education and livelihoods have been impacted. Students did drop out, and the quality of the education that they received while at home, incomparable to what they would have received in school. Bearing in mind that when you are at home also, and especially for the communities that Yayasan Tunku Abdul Rahman works with, the B40 communities, there are many challenges that are unique to their situations. They have had to share spaces with siblings who are also equally in need of that space to study. They've had to share devices with their parents sometimes. And so there's this sort of taking turns of which class to go for and who to take it from. And all this adds up to... all this adds up to adjustment to online learning being challenging for them.
Right. What I wanted to follow up with, you know, but based on everything that you're saying, is that we've heard for the past year plus now that there's been such a challenge for students with home-based learning and online learning with the digital divide and the quality of internet connection and the shared devices, homes not being conducive for learning. I'm also quite interested to note that the results of SPM this year, or 2020, had showed that the achievement gap between urban and rural candidates had also narrowed. I'm wondering whether that might be a reflection, whether, you know, the concerns that we had about underprivileged students or students without the access that we see urban students have, whether that was misplaced, and now that results are good and the gap seems to be narrowing, there might not be enough policy driving a change or reform of this.
I think it's good that the gap is narrowing. I think though that we do need more data, so even deeper breakdowns, before we can start to drive targeted interventions at this group, because it's also worth considering. And with the achievement gap, while it narrows, are we all moving forward together? Or is there a smaller group that's moving forward and leaving a larger group behind? And until we have this disaggregated view that helps make the invisible visible, so it's not just urban, rural, but also household income, social economic, and even by state, which I believe that the data will be released in due time, then only can we take more specific actions to interpret the data and act upon it accordingly to provide the support that these students need.
Right. Thank you so much. That was Hong Jinghan from Yayasan Tunku Abdul Rahman speaking to us tonight. We're going to continue our look at the SPM 2020 results in just a few minutes. So stay tuned to consider this.